You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. School boards wield a lot of power, but often for voters, they are maybe the lesser-known race on ballots. However, in recent years, particularly during the pandemic, this elected position has been politicized across the country, which on the one hand means there's more awareness, but that doesn't necessarily translate into a deeper collective understanding of their influence on education, an influence that is also shaped by representation. A CAP Radio Sacramento Observer analysis looked into four districts within Sac County, Sac City, Elk Grove, Natomas, and San Juan Unified, to better understand if school boards reflect their student body. It's important because Sacramento schools are among the most diverse in the state, and their findings are far from uniform. Srishti Prabha is CAP Radio's Sacramento education reporter and joins us with their analysis as well as conversations with school board members about the demands of this position. Hey, Srishti.
Good morning, Vicky.
So you've been on Insight before talking about the importance of school boards in education as well as in equity. Given your depth of knowledge on this topic, what were you hoping to learn from doing a canvas, an analysis of representation across four Sacramento County school districts?
Yes, I feel a little bit like a broken record because I love talking about school districts. And the more I go into it, the more I learn. So I think every election cycle, we see school board demographics change and we know so little about our board trustees, their roles, their backgrounds, and the history of our school boards. Even for me, that was something that I wasn't really, you know, well averse to. So, you know, I realize Sacramento County has some of the most diverse districts in California. And Elk Grove, for example, is the most diverse in Northern California. So there's something to be said about what does it look like to represent these diverse communities. So my research kind of went into looking at the school boards and whether or not they proportionally represent racial and ethnic diversity in the student population. And we know that there's a quick shift in these proportionalities, because as soon as you have an election cycle, there's so few board seats that those numbers can very quickly change. And just to give a little bit more insight, I did look at four specific districts. I looked at Sac City Unified, I looked at Elk Grove Unified, Natomas Unified, and San Juan Unified.
Yeah. And yeah, those school board positions, you know, when elected, there's just, you know, a handful of them often from one district to the next. So given that many people may not know the importance of a school board member, why is this role so crucial?
Yes, let's talk about it. I cannot emphasize it enough. Your school boards dictate local education structures. And I've said this again and again and again, but I will repeat myself because I think it's so important to know what the role of your local school board is. So your local school board can assess personnel, create disciplinary structures, dictate curriculum, distribute funds from the budget. And those are just a few of the tasks that they have control over. I want to talk about why representation matters. So in 2019, the Black Minds Project found that Black and Indigenous students had the highest suspension rates in Elk Grove and Sacramento City Unified, which is the highest in California. So that, you know, we're already seeing there's a disparity in educational equity. Another thing we've seen is literacy and math rates for Black and Brown students are at an average of 50% of students not meeting state standards. So clearly there's a gap. And then we see this research that's being done. And a lot of people might know, you know, we talk about teachers reflecting the students in their classroom, but what about the administration? What is the outcome of that? So I did a little bit more of a deeper dive. And in 2020, we saw researchers who had been thinking about ethnic disparities and punishment outcomes. And this was a national kind of, you know, research. It found that diversity in positions of authority in school settings fosters a more equitable approach to the administration of student punishment. So while this is focused on like administration and teachers, I think you can really see the parallels on the school board, because school boards are the ones dictating disciplinary structures, which is something I mentioned earlier.
When looking at your analysis, I was actually pretty surprised that representation can really vary from one school district to the next. What surprised you most when you actually took in these results?
Let's get into it a little bit. So each district had a very different marginalized community that wasn't being represented. On average, we saw overrepresentation of white communities in every district or proportional. So they are the most, you know, reflected on their school boards. And then we see an underrepresentation of Asian Americans and Indigenous communities. And we see some overrepresentation and some underrepresentation of Hispanic and Latin and Black communities. So in Sacramento City Unified, for example, you see that the largest student demographic is Hispanic and Latin, but that entire group is absent from the school board, whereas, you know, 54% of the board seats are made up by white trustees, even though they only take up 16% of the student population. And if you go into my story, you'll see that I do an analysis of each of these districts. And overall, it just varies quite a bit. So we have to be sure to reflect these diversities as much as we possibly can.
You know, Shrishti, when talking to educators or academics, you know, and we're talking about the topic of equity, is the end goal for school boards and their, you know, handful of elected school board members to mirror the student body in diversity? And I ask that because, you know, that kind of sounds too simple, and diversity goes beyond race and ethnicity. So is that enough to create an equitable environment for students?
You're right. It's not enough. And I do want to capitalize a little bit on what I said earlier. Overrepresentation of minority groups can actually be a positive in historically white spaces, right? So we, you know, while we're saying, oh, yeah, we want representation, maybe that representation looks like an overrepresentation of minority groups, because that will actually create what I saw through my research. It creates more inclusive priorities and agendas on the school board. And then the other thing is, you know, it's not just about having a representative school board. It's, are people well-versed in the education space? So I spoke to California School Board Association's Troy Flint, who confirms that, you know, board demographics don't necessarily track the populations they serve. But there is an importance to that being a part of the system.
Yes. If you have somebody who has some sort of identification or experience that reflects what students are going through, that's a great piece. But you also want to see, do they have an understanding of the school board role? Do they have a specific understanding of opportunities and challenges facing the school district? Do they understand a little bit about Ed Code? And diversity can help, but it's not the solution.
Listeners can obviously go in depth in your article. We have it linked on our Insight page. It's also on capradio.org to look at each individual school district that you canvassed. But overall, even for families outside of the four districts you looked into, what was the big takeaway for you as an education journalist?
Yeah, I think for something that Troy Flint was kind of speaking about, you know, diversity isn't everything, but diversity currently does not reflect its populations. And that tracks within California, where, you know, 40% of the population is Hispanic, but only 20% of them holds school board seats in the state. So, you know, you want to see this overrepresentation, which is kind of what I mentioned earlier, and that allows for inclusive ideologies where you're seeing Black and brown students not meeting math and literacy rates. You're seeing disproportional disciplining of Black and brown students. We need representation on school boards, but the structure of school boards is so prohibitive. And that was something that I really took away from writing this story, was there's few seats and what is required from the position and the sacrifices that need to be made to uplift minority voices is a lot.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio Sacramento education reporter Shrishti Prabha, who looked into four school districts within Sac County, Sac City Unified, Elk Grove Unified, Natomas Unified, and San Juan Unified, and whether their school boards reflect the diversity of the student body. Shrishti, you also spoke with a number of really relatively new school board members who are breaking the mold in representation. They all come from different backgrounds. They have different lived experiences. But are there some common themes that drew them to run and ultimately to get elected?
Yeah, that's quite perceptive, Vicky. I did speak to trustees of color, and I spoke to them about the adversity they had to overcome to take on these positions. Many of them had benefited from educational equity themselves or had faced challenges in those spaces. One person that comes to mind is Paula Viasquez of San Juan Unified. She's a board member. She's a Hispanic woman. And she shares her story with me about, you know, working at Roundtable while going to Mira Loma High School to support her single mother and their family. So for her, education was a way out of cyclical poverty. She was also one of the first to graduate from college, and she became a policy advisor and found that education was imperative to her future success. But when she decided to run, actually, the first time she ran, she lost her election. So she faced quite a few challenges. And here's a little bit of what she has to say.
There was a time last year where I was campaigning, working, and being on school board. And it's a lot to juggle with not a lot of tangible financial return. And it's a barrier to who decides to run and who ends up being in charge and the decisions that are being made. Even just the idea of being able to run a campaign on resources that you're pulling together, either individually or from your network, like that's a privilege.
Yeah, campaigns are expensive, right? But what arguably surprised me the most is that these are elected positions. They are unpaid, yet require a great deal of time if you're going to do it right with integrity. How does this impact diversity on the school board?
I mean, diversity is directly impacted by this. And who can afford the time and who has the resources to run? It takes over 20 hours a week, some of the school members said, to do this job, which is on top of their full-time job. You have to be well-versed, again, in education, and that is not an easy task. You have to do your research. You have to show up to board meetings. So I spoke to Chinua Rhodes, who is the president of the Sac City Unified School Board. He's also a Black man who took a year off work to be an effective school board trustee, but in the process, you know, he kind of talks about sacrificing his own well-being.
I felt that I can be a better representative if this was what I was going to do, or at least give me the on-ramp to learn in that year to kind of understand the duties and what without having the stressors. And how I was able to do that, we cut back on everything. And it was actually really difficult to the point of after that, when about a month before the year was up, it was like, hey, we don't have any money. It was just an extreme sacrifice so that I could try my best to service the community that I grew up in.
Well, admirable. That's a sacrifice that isn't realistic or sustainable, you know, especially when you're looking at diversity and reflecting the student body that you serve and care about. So for those who become a school board member and essentially make both that financial and personal sacrifice, as we just heard, I learned a term from your reporting that one professor you spoke with used to describe this price that they ultimately pay. Can you explain the person of color tax in terms of education?
Definitely. So, I mean, Chinua Rhodes was just one of many trustees of color that I spoke to, and every single one had a very similar story. So you're hearing these stories of you know, just overcoming so much to amplify voices in their community. And when I was speaking to UCLA's education professor, Tyrone Howard, he talked to me about what is required in leadership positions in the education system for people of color. And I think he can describe this phenomenon best.
There's something that I call the POC tax. I think as a person of color, we're oftentimes expected to do more than what our white counterparts do. We're expected to be the voice of reason. We're expected to be the voice around diversity. And that's a lot to carry because it shouldn't be solely the responsibility of the person of color to always raise the concerns around inclusion, around equity, around justice. But frequently that's what happens. But there's also this financial piece for many folks of color who may know the issues. They don't have several thousand dollars just sitting around to say, I'm going to run for school board. In some cases, it's more than several thousand. It's tens of thousands of dollars that you need.
I mean, I'm learning so much. But even with your in-depth knowledge about education in Sacramento schools, what were some of your biggest kind of like aha moments when talking to school board members?
Yeah, it was extremely important for me to hear about the nature of the work, because I think a lot of times we don't spend the time to get to know the people that are hearing and the concerns of the community and to hear the toll it takes on them. Because for them to be able to service minority voices, they need to themselves, you know, take care of their own well-being. And I don't think that anyone has or has been asking them, how are you? So for me to hear that, I mean, some of the narratives I heard were actually quite shocking, and they will come out in some of my future stories, but I heard stories of unkindness, of racism, and things that should not play a role in education policy. Z. McCreason is the San Juan Unified Black Board president. I mean, she's the San Juan Unified Board President, and she's also a Black woman, sorry. And she kind of talks about all of the challenges she's had to face as a Black woman in this space.
I knew the job wouldn't be easy. We don't all have to agree on everything. That's just not how society works, nor should it. We all should be free thinkers, but it got really personal and really nasty. So that's really what made me take pause to be like, do I want to do this? And also, you know, there were folks showing up at a public official's houses. I mean, I have a kid at home.
Yeah, there's also, I mean, that also brings up an important topic about not only having them take these spaces and kind of, you know, whatever, break the mold, but also a retention rate, having them run again and again. And you actually talked to some school board members who were like, you know what, I'm out after, you know, one or two election cycles.
That's totally true. I did. I talked to a few different people who ran for re-election and did it just solely because they felt like they were the only ones that could potentially be a good voice for their community, or they were seeing, you know, in this case specifically, a Proud Boy running in their district and felt that, you know, they needed to combat that voice to some degree. So, yeah, it's taxing. It's a taxing job, and there's little to no, like, reward, actually, because the job of a school board member is just to show up and listen to the concerns of the community, which is great, but it also is a very hard job.
Finally, Srishti, California, the rest of the country, we're growing more diverse. It's more common to be mixed race, as just well as finding safe spaces to be open about sexual and gender identities. How do you see this influencing upcoming school board generations?
Yeah, intersectional identities can prove and provide a heterogeneous lens to the education system. I spoke to a few different people that had, you know, intersectional identities, like Noelle Mora in Natomas and Michael Vargas in Elk Grove, who are some of the few LGBTQ members on board, and also Mexican-American and mixed race. They both independently discuss this as important in what they want to provide for their districts. You clearly begin to see the diversification of priorities with these, you know, multiple identities in the space. So one thing Troy Flint from the school board, California School Board Association, said was that, you know, ultimately we're seeing more, you know, more reflective school boards. But from where we've had to start, it'll take a generation before we get there.
Srishti, thank you so much.
Thanks, Vicky.
Srishti Prabha is Cap Radio's Sacramento education reporter who looked into four school districts within Sac County, Sac City Unified, Elk Grove Unified, Natomas Unified, and San Juan Unified, and whether their school boards reflect the diversity of the student body. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.